So this series is about the festivals, right? It's a feast and festivals of Jews. So I kind of wanted to open it up and first ask, why do you guys think festivals are important? Or why do you think it's important for us to study these Jewish festivals? Is there any good reason for us to do this? Sorry?
They give us a better idea of
the so they gave us a better idea of the cultural setting. We can understand kind of what the Jews were going through. Why is it important for us in some ways to understand what the Jews were kind of going through and what they were all about?
It shaped their reactions and interactions with Jesus.
It really shaped, you know, how they viewed the world. And in a lot of ways it shaped how they viewed Christ. Right? Okay, what else, guys?
God instituted these things in the Bible, he had a purpose for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you know, Passover, there's deep theological meanings in there.
That's great. There's a lot of purpose given to these festivals. It's not just, God just didn't like roll the dice and say, you know, oh, you should do this. But there seems to be an idea, that there's a design behind some of these festivals. That's great.
They really seem to mark out milestones of the Jewish history and places where God had acted.
Great. Yeah, there's this remembrance. That's what I'm saying.
No.
Oh, no, okay. Okay, great. Any other thoughts? Okay, feel free to chime in, but it really gives us a glimpse of what was important in Jewish culture, like festivals, what we celebrate is often what we value. And like Nick said, it was a time of national gathering to remember certain events. So it was a time where they would, the older people would pass on something to the younger generation and say, this is what we have learned. This is where God brought us from. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it's funny because you look at the book of Deuteronomy and this is when the nation of Israel is standing on the other side of the river of Jordan and they're looking at the promised land and they're going to go take it. And the theme that is constantly repeated through the book of Deuteronomy is that of remembrance. Like, remember the Lord your God when you go into the land and you eat of its goodness and you remember the Lord. And you see this kind of come back in Moses' prayer. So Moses has this huge poem towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is one of those verses. He says, remember the days of the old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers and he will show you. Ask your elders and they will tell you. And really, Moses is beseeching and exhorting the Israelites to remember God and remember where they came from. So through this festival, we will see how there are these various aspects that point back to the history of Israel, that point back and remind the Israelites about where they came from. And then the festivals instructed the Israelites about how to worship. It wasn't that they could do whatever they wanted. You know, there was very particular ways that Israel was called to worship God. And this is critical because, you know, God wanted to dwell with the nation of Israel. Like, if you know anything about the temple had this place called the Holy of Holies where God dwelt with the nation of Israel. And it was important that the nation stood pure and righteous in front of God. So God instituted very clear mandates for worship. There were days set apart for worship. There were ways that were set apart for worship. And there were festivals that in some ways just commemorated every season of the Jewish life, almost every aspect of the Jewish life. Like, if there was a harvest, it would be, the first thing from that harvest is to go and offer it to God. And in some ways, what's happening is that you're seeing that every aspect of the Jewish life is being infused by worship. There isn't something that is like, oh, this is our part, but the Jewish life was lived in worship. And almost ceremonial obedience to God, and that's significant. And I think ultimately, like I don't remember who pointed to the idea, but very importantly, it was teaching the Jews to look forward, as much as it was teaching them to look back. It was teaching the Jews to look forward, and it's very clear that the Jews, you know, you look at David's Psalms. He says he knew that these sacrifices weren't enough. He knew that something else had to happen, and they were looking forward, and they were being taught to recognize who the Messiah would be, maybe recognize what sort of events would surround the Messiah. And we'll see how a lot of these festivals really pointed to the Messiah, in some ways even found their fulfillment in Christ. So you know, it's interesting kind of jumping into the study because clearly I'm not a Jew, like very clearly. And but I am a Gentile really speaking into Jewish traditions as revealed in the Bible. And there is a disconnect, and I will recognize that, you know, in some ways. I'm learning from what I've researched, and I'm presenting that. But as Christians, we must recognize that, you know, God used the Jewish nation to bless all nations, to bring salvations to both Jews and Gentiles. The origins of Christianity is so steeped in the Jewish religion, in the Jewish worldview. And it's interesting because the apologist, if you ever go to Rabbi Zacharias and you hear him speak, he'll often call the Christian worldview as the Judeo-Christian worldview because it didn't start with Christ. It started prior to that. It's the same God in the Old Testament, the same God in the New Testament. So as we study this, we're really looking back at kind of what the Jews are looking forward to. It was Christ, and he's the author and the finisher of our salvation. With that introduction, any thoughts, guys, just over on the reason for festivals? Okay, for those of you who join us, you know, this is going to be as interactive as possible, so feel free to chime in. We'll talk through these things and learn as much as possible. All right, so what are the Jewish festivals? So Leviticus 23 kind of lays out most of these festivals. So the Passover, which is also known as the Pesach, right? Pesach?
Pesach.
Pesach. I'm going to keep asking Amanda for pronunciations. Feel free to correct me. Pesach, which is which commemorates like the deliverance from Egypt. We'll do it. There's a lot more going on over there, but just kind of briefly. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is called Hag Hamatzot.
Hamatzot,
there we go. It represents cleansing from sin. The first fruits, this I looked up, is a reshit. It's a feast, and the Feast of the Weeks. Both of these festivals really were tied to thankfulness towards God. You have the Feast of the Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, and the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. These two we'll jump into today. So Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of the New Year, and Day of Atonement was really a special day. And we'll get into it. And you have the Feast of the Booths, which is Sukkot. Then there were two festivals that got added in later. One from the Book of Esther, and it's called Feast of the Lots of Purim. And in this this was really to commemorate how the Jews were rescued from the thoughts of Haman. You know, the Jews are rescued and delivered through Esther. So it's to commemorate that. And later, you have the Feast of Dedication that comes in. And we kind of just hit the Feast of Dedication very recently in John. Anyone remember why the Feast of Dedication came to be? Sorry?
Esther.
That's the Feast of the Lot. So that's Purim. That's in Esther. Yes. And then
Jesus went up to the temple.
Jesus goes up to the temple during the Feast of Dedication. It was really to Judas Maccabee who cleanses the temple about, I think, 180 BC or something around that period. He cleanses the temple and rededicates the temple. So it was a very early temple, but we see it's mentioned in Scripture. You know, so we are going to study it and look into it a little bit. So the feast that we're going to study through the series, we're going to focus on how the feast was celebrated during the time of Christ. And that's where we're going to really zone in. So you know, the temple was destroyed after Christ in 70 AD. And with that, a lot of the rituals could not be done anymore because you no longer had the temple, you no longer had the structures in place that the Jews needed for certain sacrifices. So what we see today is very different to what happened during the temple days. There are aspects that have carried and there are aspects that have discontinued. So we will be looking at the temple time, so the time of the second temple. So you have the first temple built, it's destroyed by Babylon, and then you have the second temple that's built by the people who come back from the exile. They rebuild the temple, and then Herod comes in, and it's sometimes known as the third temple, but it's not really the third temple because the temple wasn't destroyed. It was more just, you know, built again. It was not destroyed by the enemy, so they built it again. And I think it takes about 80 years for this next temple to be built, and it's a beautiful structure. It is an amazing structure. And that's where we're going to focus our study. So from the first century perspective of the Jews. All right, so we're going to start off with Rosh Hashanah. And really, we're going to focus on the first 10 days. And the month of Tishri is really the new year month. So it's like the month of January for us. And there are three feasts that tie in kind of the bringing in of the new year, the Jewish new year. And the three feasts are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And we're going to look at Sukkot, sorry. We're going to look at these three. But all these three feasts are neatly tied together in like a spiritual theme. Rosh Hashanah is almost a festival of repentance. So it's a festival of repentance. And then it's followed very closely by Yom Kippur, which is a festival of redemption. It heavily carries with it the theme of redemption. And you have Sukkot, which is a festival of rejoicing. And it really is kind of the walk of the Christian life is repentance, redemption, and rejoicing in what God has done. And we see these being reflected in the first three festivals of the new year. So we're going to begin with the first three festivals. We're not going to flow from like the spring to the fall, but we're going to flow from the new year, and we'll go through the calendar in our study. So the Jewish new year begins on the first 10 days of the month of Tishri, which is kind of the seventh month according to the solar calendar. But that's when the Jewish new year began. And the first 10 days, could you go one slide back, please? The first 10 days were called Days of Awe. Days of Awe. That's great. The first 10 days were called Days of Awe. And the first 2 days were really Rosh Hashanah and Yom Teruah. And we'll understand those two terms in a little bit. But the first 2 days were dedicated to the celebration of those two festivals. And then after 10 days, on the 10th day, you had the Day of Atonement. So these are really clubbed together. And they're the most solemn days of the year. And both of these festivals, uniquely, they're very different in atmosphere from all the other Jewish festivals. And all the other festivals, in some ways, celebrate something, and they have rejoicing, and they have a lot of, like, joy. But these two festivals, really, they have no traces of joy in how they are prescribed, but rather, they're profoundly serious days. They're profoundly serious festivals, and there's a heavy moral responsibility in this, heavy introspection that goes on during this time. They bear very little correlation even to other festivals in the fact that they don't have any historical events that they're tied to. So they're not celebrating the harvest, they're not celebrating the deliverance from Egypt, but they're merely and very specifically set apart for the worship of God and repentance from sin. So the new year is not greeted with joy, but with very solemnness and a contrite heart. Does that make sense? Everybody on board about how these 10 days kind of flow? So you're these two. So, all right. On the month of Tishri, this is what they did. They had a lunar calendar. The Jews had a lunar calendar that was kind of merged with a solar calendar, and that's kind of how the festival worked. Every other festival, they would look for, like, a lunar calendar is like 2 weeks, right? There's a 2-week cycle over there. Every other festival would look for the new moon in the middle of the month, but this festival looked at the new moon at the beginning of the month. So they had two people. They were really smart. They could calculate the day that the new moon would come, but they wouldn't. What they would do is they would have two watchmen who would stay up at night